Hi, so Jason, what are you working on at the moment? What are you painting?
What on my painting desk? I've got four things actually, because I'm a bit of a flitter of things. When I get a bit dogged down with it, I'm like, all right, do something else then. I always have something on the go. I've got some more Uruk-hai because I need more, and it's I've got I must be on 200 now, Uruk-hai, mental. So I've got some goblins, Moria goblins on the go. I've got some Gaslands cars kicking around, and then I've got a Dungeon Saga troll. I've been waiting to do for a while, but I just haven't got around to that. And it's lovely when you've got lots of things kicking around. I love that because no matter what my fancy is, I've got something to pick.
Yeah, so you're against the grain with what you hear a lot. Like you prefer to have loads of stuff sitting waiting to be painted, because I know a lot of people get bothered by that.
Do they? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
it's.
It's much nicer. I don't want too much. If you're there looking at a mountain of potential, and I can dock it down, it's like I'm never going to do it. You're eating the elephant. You're never going to be able to eat the elephant. But no, just chunk it down. But yeah, four little things in my head because I'm quite a busy man in some sense. I mean, I run my own business. I've got kids. I've got my wife. And I get half hour here, an hour there. I try to use the dead time. So like that time that you're sat there with your missus watching the telly, you're not really watching, are you? You're just sort of, zoning out, having a quick chat. Well, paint then. I've got an hour now. Let's do that. What do I fancy? And then I just always do something. So my only rule is, all right, you've got a dead space, pick it up. Doesn't matter what it is. Don't even think about it too much. Just pick it up. Do a little bit and blooming heck, it accumulates.
Do you have a permanent space set up that you go to then?
No. I just have a box of paints that I'm using for them four things that I've got kicking around. I've got actually. Do you know those like IKEA sofas that have storage in them? That's
Yeah, I think
a
so, yeah.
carpenter admitting that he likes IKEA, but there we go. It's monstrous lover that are IKEA. I've got all my paints in there, and then I've got a separate tiny little box, like a little shoebox, really. Just with all the bits that I'm using for them four projects. And I just grab that out, put it on my coffee table, and off away I go. And then I put it away again. And that way the wife doesn't have to live with chaos.
Because is that the army she collects?
Absolutely. She stomps me every time. So that is the thing, though, is that not many, I've not, I don't know, it's just me, I'm in a misogynistic culture, maybe, but I've got no, there's no women in the gaming rounds of near me. But my wife likes gaming, I found, thanks to lockdown. Fantastic. Forced her to have a go. And she likes it. She hates Warhammer, but she likes Dungeon Saga.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. And do you think that that is just, it's a boxed game, everything's here versus, let's get the tape measure out and just it's a bit of a free for all.
Well, when she was swearing at me at how awful Warhammer was, I asked her, "What is it you like then? What is it you liked about these games?" Because my sister was the same. She had a go, and she did not like Warhammer at all. I mean, it's such a hard sell. I've only sold it once to a new gamer, the system of Warhammer, in any form. Whereas Dungeon Saga, I have yet to fail, and I've done it to maybe 12 of my mates and various other people and people that are extant to me as well. And they always love it. And I've asked them, what is it they like? And it's the reassurance of the squares, for one thing, because that free movement thing throws people for some reason. I'm not quite sure why. I don't know whether I'm just so used to the system of free movement, because, we grew up with it, I presume. I presume you did as well. It's just something that was natural. But it freaks them out. That surety of squares, newbies love it. And my kids love that as well. They're like, yeah, seven squares, fantastic. And can do that. There must be something about it not being too massive an endeavor as well. Like you said, in a self-contained game, it's not, I'm not going to say small in scope, but it is contained and there's boundaried, and they can work within that boundary. And that's that reassurance. They like that. But then we took a step back as well with my sister and my wife and went to an even simpler game, and they didn't like it because they were used to having a little bit of depth, a little bit of maneuver, a little bit of variation.
What did you go to then? What else did you try?
We tried. It's a little board game called Zombies. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, I used to have that. Yeah, so it's like little tiles, and the miniatures are very, very basic, and like
Yeah, but great, I remember, fun. Thousands of them.
Like a great game. But yeah, I get it. It's it got a bit like old quite quickly. But I think it's a classic, as far as I know.
Absolutely. And the trouble with classics is they've become classics. They've been superseded by something better. Mm. And it's a real problem for people that love classic stuff. Because I couldn't sell it to them. They just didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
They just said, no, I'm used to Dungeon Saga now. And Dungeon Saga, it seems to be that because it's modern game mechanics that by professionals that have been in it for a long time, they've stretched simple mechanics to do quite a lot simultaneously. So there's quite a lot of depth and variation within them. It's so clever what these people do. But they're into that now. And that's precisely the opposite is what put them off of Warhammer. Because it's that too many layers. They said, why am I rolling to hit and then rolling again? That was a sticking point, I have to say. There was much Anglo-Saxon words associated with that particular point. And that's, they said, why am I doing this? And I said, it's to add depth and all this. And I vaguely convinced myself of that point. And she said, no, Jason, it's because it's crap. Why are we doing that?
Not that it means much to me, but what edition of Warhammer were you playing?
Quite a recent one. It was 6th.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I daren't go further back because I thought the crunchinesses and the constant referencing was just going to put them off immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no, we're going to go a skirmish version of 6th because it's in the back of the appendices of the notebook. And it was the most accessible edition that I remember. Because I just thought, it's all in one book. We can do the skirmish. Not many models. There's only 12 models aside, one of them skirmish scenarios. And are you familiar with Warhammer editions much?
Not, I wouldn't say extensively, no. I think I always get the first Warhammer that I had, or the only Warhammer I owned, wrong. I think it's 4th, the High Elves and the Goblins.
Smack on. Right? You are smack on, yeah. Well, this
it's
one was 2000.
I've been corrected so many times.
Fair enough. How dare you not know your Warhammer? You absolute infidel. No, it's 2000s. And it's when they went to everything was in one book. And in the box was orcs with a chariot and then some humans with spears and a cannon.
Mm.
And that was the addition. And it was, I've spoken to the guy who wrote it very briefly online. It was very nice of them to answer. God knows why they did, but they did. And he said what he thinks is best about that particular edition is it was in the transition point between when video gaming became just unbelievably good. And everything else. And then how the hell are you going to sell these old, crunchy, massive book systems to this generation of people? And it's like on that cuff, it's on that sort of tipping point between the old gaming systems and modern, sleeker gaming systems. So he said, you still got the vastness of a Warhammer game, but it's getting closer to a sleeker system. And it's on that sort of tipping point. And he said, that's possibly why it was the more accessible or the most popular one at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'd give that a go because it's a little skirmish thing. They hated it. They absolutely hated it. I can't sell it to them. I'm trying not to take it personally because I'm trying to think, it's not because you're a bad salesman, Jason, necessarily. Although, my ego won't allow me to think I'm a bad salesman. But when Dungeon Saga has been so successful, and I mean thoroughly successful in getting it to new people, like a complete opposite experience. It's got to be the game because I'm very passionate about the game, so I don't think the passion's lacking.
And did you know the game quite well? When you were playing them, so it wasn't like you were leafing through the book and saying, "Hold on a minute, like give me a minute."
I mean, they were put off instantly when I gave them a reference sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, even though that's very condensed down and pared back. It seems to be from the evidence of what I was observing in these people, and these aren't dim people. These aren't simple people. These are teachers and engineers and stuff like this. They've never done it before. They were just like, well, this is code. You need to know what you're talking about to know what this is referencing. And so there's a lot to learn even with a reference sheet. And I knew all the rules off pat and we were doing it very simple. Like I said, it was just 12 people per side skirmish game.
Mm-hmm.
For Warhammer, because I just thought, keep it dead simple. This is the simple as I can get it without it being boring. And that didn't go for it. Only one did. And he since left because he hates the other aspects of the hobby. He just wants the game ready to go. He doesn't want to have to make or paint or do any of the scenery. He just wants to play the game. It's very interesting in that sense. I just wonder how they sold it at all in the day.
Going back into the '90s, then what about you getting started with it? Like, how did that come about?
Oh, it was a glorious mid '90s moment. Walking in the back alley of Basingstoke, and then I saw this little skeleton man that was like from Jason the Argonauts. Do you know that film, the Harryhausen '60s film? Yeah. I adore that film, not just because of my namesake, though it might be partially. I just love those skeletons, and they scream. You know, they were running around. And there was a little skeleton man, the undead skeletons, the old plastic box set just in the window. My head nearly twisted off. It's just whacking around to have a look at this thing. Dragged my mum in there. And the Games Workshop, red jumpered, lovely person, just gave me one for free. Hooked. How could I leave? Really? Yeah, he just had a load on the side that he was making up. It was back in the day when they were trying to grow the business massively, I think. And they were just like, well, we've got these free plastics, you know. And you love that skeleton thing so much? There you go, lad. That was the best investment Games Workshop ever made. It was a 20p worth of plastic given to a young lad, and then thousands of pounds later over multiple decades. Yeah. What an investment.
I know, tremendous.
And he also gave me something called a space marine, which I had no idea what it was at the time. But then he vaguely explained that it was it's these cosmic knights that are kind of like Templars, but more insane, more devout. And they battle space demons and aliens. Well, I almost passed out. How exciting is that for an 8-year-old?
Did you get yourself sent away with like a wee leaflet as well? Did you get a copy of White Dwarf or anything?
I didn't get a copy of White Dwarf. My mum couldn't afford it at the time, but I took every piece of free paraphernalia that they had going, which was quite a bit at the time, including these really, because being 8 years old, you're not reading anything necessarily unless you're particularly bright. I wasn't. That's why I'm in construction. but you just took anything that had interesting pictures, and they had plenty of nice, bright, colourful pictures back in them days, didn't they? And they had this thing like, I can't remember what it was. It was some scheme, perhaps you remember, where they had cards that you would stamp, and they were littered with nice pictures, and you would stamp the cards when you bought something, and then you'd end up with a freebie at the bottom. I took one for every army of that, just because I had them on my bedroom wall, this blue tack, just because I liked the pictures. I never bought anything, obviously, but the pictures looked fantastic, and I was well into it. it was brilliant. It's nostalgia in that. But I think it's also a different ethos, because I went into the Games Workshop recently, and they've not necessarily got any freebies, have they? Or anything like that. I didn't get that vibe. I asked him, is there anything free? And he went, no. Okay, I could see him reaching under the counter, and I thought, oh, no, okay.
Maybe get a cup of coffee.
And bring it in, and then he'd tell me to get out, you can't drink in here. but maybe I just got a particularly grumpy backwater Games Workshop, but nonetheless, I don't know whether they're growing the business or not. I understand that they're an untold multi-billion pound company now, but is that IP? Because they're massively into video games, aren't they?
Think so, yeah. Aye.
And they've reduced the number of stores, I know that, but then that's the same across the entire retail industry, isn't it? I've had no end of my clients complaining endlessly about, oh, all the high street stores that I used to own are gone. So, oh yeah, okay, never mind. So where's all their money coming from? Maybe it's video games, and they're not pumping necessarily much into their tabletop games anymore. Because I know my youngest siblings, they're all into video games. It is the thing, isn't it? It's even bigger than when I was young, because I loved my video games when I was young, but it's nothing like it is now, is it? I mean, she was showing me this thing, this video game, Warhammer video game, my sister, and it was vast. Mm-hmm. What do they call it? Open world things? My God, it was endless. Like, you could lose yourself for months.
I try and not touch them. Like, I play a bit of FIFA, but that's like a 5-minute game. And, you know, the last couple of games I got into video games were like Skyrim or Fallout, which were vast.
But my sister loves Skyrim. You're in good company there.
I wouldn't want to get involved in it now because it's too good.
That's the problem,
in a different way. Like, I don't finish a 6-hour Skyrim marathon. Not that I'd get away with that these days, but I don't come away from that thinking that was great. But like, if you've actually done a physical game or painted something, I think you're walking away from that quite chuffed with yourself. So,
absolutely. I mean, I'm scratching around for an hour to paint. If I get into a video game and then all of a sudden it's midnight, and I don't know how it happened. That's not a good thing.
You're not thinking, what a great man I am. After that. No, just sat on the couch for 6 hours.
No, there's an image of a man in my head, and it is not a great man. Especially when I look around and I say, oh, when did I eat that bag of crisps? What happened there?
What armies or army did you collect back in the day, and how does that differ from the kind of Warhammer stuff you collect these days?
In the day, it was entirely restricted by finance, because I was entirely dependent on my single mother, who worked at for British people, W.H. Smith's. She just worked there, no money, but she had money off the White Dwarf. So most of the miniatures I had, she would wait until the White Dwarf had a freebie on the front, and then she'd buy that one for me. Mm-hmm. And then I'd accumulate these freebies, and then my uncle, who had a bit more cash, would at Christmas would occasionally buy me a little box of something. So I had the skeletons, and I had the freebie bits and pieces off White Dwarfs, and I got now and again, I think I got a little box from my uncle, which was mostly, I think I had an Eldar Viper and a few dozen Space Marines and Space Orcs. And I never played the games properly, but by hell, I had a lot of fun with them back in the day. But it was in my teenage years when I was starting to work at McDonald's. I felt like I was rich, and I ended up splurging on Space Marines. Space Marines and undead. That was my way forward when I was in my teens.
I was just going to say, were you talking about that and the finances of when you're wee? I always laugh at the thought of me and my pals, like two or three of us, sitting with copies of White Dwarf and the catalogue pages, and then they had the mail order thing that you could fill out. We would just write all the stuff we wanted and price it all up. It was never ever going to happen. You'd write this thing and you'd be like, this is what I'm getting. And it'd be like, £120. And then your pal's like, so how much you got saved up so far? About £3.50. So like, it was never ever.
I recently went to the McDonald's saver. I'm sorry, I'm a quid down now.
I know. Aye, so, but you could always dream. And I think that's the, one of the great things when you come back, as an adult with a job and, a bit of disposable income, at least you can now and then treat yourself. And, you imagine your maybe 11-year-old self seeing you doing that and thinking, oh, he's got it made.
Oh, mate, my 11-year-old self was not imagined. It was at before. He came right through my unconscious and he saw how much I was earning at McDonald's, because they paid amazingly well in the day. And I think it was like 2004-5, and I was getting paid £9 an hour at McDonald's, and I was doing even today that's not to be sniffed at, and I was doing 40 hours a week, around my studies. And so I felt flush, and my 11-year-old went, well, 50% of that's going on G-dubs. That's exactly what's happening. Oh, mental, I accumulated so much so quick. Even had a Thunderhawk gunship, that's how stupid it got.
When did you sort of get back into it all, and how did that come about?
Well, I took a break because I had to get a bit serious about getting my studies done, and I stopped at McDonald's, and I was with my now wife, and we had plans. So you take your finances into one direction, and all of your time is then developing your career, developing your business, doing this, doing that, having kids, and then stress during that peak time. When I don't know if it's the same with you, but when you start having your first child, it's a massive psychological shift. I was surprised at how much of a psychological shift it was, because you lie to yourself, don't you? Going, it's going to be fine. A bit of strategic ignorance with these things is necessary, isn't it? Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. and that peak stress where you got your business on the go, you spent all your money on your house, blah, 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 and you just go, no, you need something from me. And you remember all the fun you had. So you go back to that and you find yourself some time, otherwise you'll burn out. And that was in my late 20s. I found that I particularly loved it. And because I had the adult's restraint and means of getting projects done built into me now, because of that previous experience, we have to in order to build yourself up into something worthy of a business and everything else. You got all these new skill sets and restraint and control, as well as disposable income, to do something quite fun. So when I got back into it, the first thing I did is I thought, I'm not going to do this by half measures. I'm not. I am going to go, what did I always want to do? I wanted a massive table with two vast armies. That's what I wanted. So that's what we're going to do, Jason. How the hell are you going to do that? You've got a little mid-terrace house. Like, all right, we'll knock a wall through. It makes it open plan. We've always wanted open plan, haven't we, love? Yeah, it's got nothing to do with a table. and now I've got a flat pack table that fits under my stairs that's 12 foot by 6 foot. And I've got about 3,000 points of humans painted up, 3,000 points of undead as well, because I'm a flitter. I can't just do one thing. Mm-hmm. I've very nearly finished my 10,000 points of orcs and goblins. I'm very close to finishing that. And then I'm bound to the humans or undead to get them up to the same standard. And that way, once a year, maybe, I'll have a big game with people that are willing. And then my other game and things were just done with Dungeon Saga, which was introduced during lockdown because I was there thinking, no one's coming around to play a big game. No one's coming around to do all this stuff. But I can get Dungeon Saga. My wife will play it. She said she'll give it a go because she's equally as bored and as about to tear the walls apart as me with lockdown. Let's do this. And so my little gaming was with Dungeon Saga, and now with Gaslands I've recently found, which is a very fun game. And Warhammer's back in it as well now. That's kind of what I'm about. And I love proxies. I don't like going to the originals. They're stupidly priced.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to pick up on a couple of those things. First things first, like Dungeon Saga. Where did you come across that?
The interwebs. I think it was... are you familiar with Beasts of War?
Heard of it, yeah.
On tabletop thingy?
Aye.
Big, happy Northern Irish fellas.
Aye.
A bit of fun to watch during lockdown. Because I found myself with some more time. Because I voluntarily took... Because in construction, we didn't have to stay at home. But the government made us successfully scared enough that I took 3 months off to try. But then, you know, that ended after a while. But during that 3 months, I had a lot more time. So I started watching stuff on YouTube and all this and getting into the hobby a bit more like that. And I found myself enjoying it and stumbled across these on tabletop fellas. And they were introducing me to all these games and not Games Workshop. Because my focus, my known point of reference was Games Workshop. But this on tabletop fellas, they treat Games Workshop like they're a subsect of the entire hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got all this other stuff. And I zoomed in on Dungeon Saga for some reason. You know, it'd take a team of Soviet psychologists to understand why Dungeon Saga attracted me. It's kind of like why you like redheads instead of blondes. I just went, that's what I'm having. that's what I'm buying. I'm buying that one. And it was cheap. It was fun. It was everything you want in a game.
Do you tend to play it two-player? Or do you manage to get like the whole family involved or more than two players?
I regularly play two-player, me and my wife or me and my daughter. The daughter isn't not really playing a game with the daughter. She's just having a little sort of like a role play sort of, oh, we're going to the shops with the skeletons, Daddy. Yes, exactly. that's exactly what we're doing. But mostly we have friends around for a takeaway because, you know, we all want salt and fat in our in our life.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I said, hey, do you fancy a game? And I said, "What? Yeah, what's involved?" I said, "Nothing. You just sit there and you play. I'll tell you what to do." And they're grand. They love it. They think it's great. They've been asking me to do it again. That's how successful it is. It's not like I'm badgering them.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Then, are you when you do the two player with it? Are you doing one of his overlord, one of his heroes?
Yes, because I'm not too keen on the co-op or solo for reasons I'm not sure. I think I should give it a better go.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the social side of things.
Yeah.
So I like, it's not necessarily combative, but it is sort of, you're on that side, I'm on this side, let's have a go.
Yeah.
So I just, whatever time we do have, I save myself for those moments rather than a solo or co-op. I don't know, I feel like I'd probably get a bit depressed and sad playing solo. I don't know why, but that's how I would. That's how I visualize it.
I'm doing Rangers of Shadowdeep, but doing it co-op. So, like...
Still get the social. So you're doing the solo aspect of it, but with another mate.
Yeah, exactly. So we're on the same team, but, you know, we're working together. And I quite like that.
How'd you find that game? That one flew me by for some reason.
Love it. Absolutely love it, yeah.
What's
really
the core
good
idea of it?
So you've got a Ranger... And the Shadowdeep, you could potentially compare it to like the the chaos wastes, I suppose. It's just a bad blight on the land, and it's increasing. You know, it's taking over towns and stuff. So these rangers are going in. You've got a couple of companions. The usual stuff, you know, it could be a mage or, you know, a barbarian or whatever. But all miniature agnostic. And your ranger's your key character. So any human player has their ranger plus their companions. And you're just going into a scenario, and the book tells you, you know, set your table up this way, that way, put your buildings here. Here are your baddies that you need, proxy them if you need to. And then you've got a deck of playing cards, normal playing cards, but they correspond to certain instructions each turn. So, you know, things will happen and get in your way. So it's a brilliant system. I mean, I know very little about games or game design, but I thoroughly enjoy it. And I find it very accessible too, which helps for me because I'm not the brightest. So,
nah, no, I mean that. I mean, there's a reason I did physical jobs, because I could thought of going to study properly. Oh my days!
What do you make of the miniatures in Dungeon Saga?
Simplistic, utterly simplistic, but I think deliberately so. I mean, my daughters, they love them because they just, well, they're ready to go. They just go, oh, it's this, Dad. Yeah, and they pick it up. Grand. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about them picking it up because they could throw it across the room and it wouldn't break.
Yeah, aye, they're hardy, aren't they, the minis?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I've heard so many negatives about that aspect of those minis. I feel like they've missed the point.
Yeah.
For veteran gamers, you want the core set and throw away the minis. If you want a dungeon game, I think that's what you want to do. But I think this game is specifically at its best for new people and for young people. That's where this game's at. And yeah, you can get quite deep into it if you want to, because you can layer whatever you want on top. You can go as deep and as far as Warhammer Quest, Hero Quest, or turn it into a full RPG and go Dungeons and Dragons with it. It's not a problem. But the point is, that core box, you've got minis that can't be destroyed. Even with a hammer, you'd struggle on some of them.
Which is ideal. And I've painted them up, and I feel quite happy with them. I feel fine with it. You know, they're clearly not the best, but they're not meant to be. And that's partially why it's affordable. I can get the core box for £40. New.
Yeah, I painted all of the miniatures in the box very quickly because...
Oh, you got Dungeon Saga too?
Yeah.
Good man.
So, I like I say, I made sure I painted all the miniatures. And I think because they were so... Basic's quite a harsh term to describe them, but I wasn't bothered in them being spectacular. Not that I'm capable of doing that anyway, but I battered through them pretty quick. You know, a lot of washes and dry brushing, contrast paints.
You edge on a subject that's close to my heart, actually, because you say it was almost like you're admonishing yourself for saying basic, but actually that's gaming. I've been having a look at these... for years, we've been ogling heavy metal and we've been ogling people on YouTube and everything else. It's not attainable. I'm willing to say that. It's a fool's errand in some sense, unless that's entirely your thing, that you are buzzed and you love the art of it. It's pointless. I won't get anywhere. Never. I did the math on them. I can't remember what White Dwarf was, but they released a brand new undead army and they brought on the heavy metal two people that painted this army. And it wasn't a big army. It was 2,000 points. And it was only, 80 miniatures?
Yeah.
And these two blokes, they explained that there's a 35-stage step per miniature. And they're painting 20 at a time. Yeah. And they told me how many hours it was. And these are full-time professionals. They took two of them a month.
Yeah.
50-hour weeks. That's just not happening.
Attainable for most people, is it?
Well, especially because I'm going to presume that they're faster than me to get that quality. They can do that quality for a start. And then if I just do an hour a week at half the speed they can do it, to meet that, I mean, I'm looking at 3 years to get one army. It's just not...
Yeah.
I won't have the willpower to keep it up either.
Yeah.
I think people... I'm speaking out of turn there. For myself... For many years, I laboured under the understanding that that was what I needed to do. I needed to get that standard or as close to that standard as I should. But it wasn't healthy for me. It wasn't right. I'm much better now. It's simplistic. And I'm happy. I'm happy with them. They look fine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you sent me some photos over. They look, your stuff looks magic, like looks first class.
Oh, you'll get a Christmas card this year now.
My only one.
But it's from a distance, isn't it, for gaming? Because if you look close at those Uruk-hai, I'm very grateful that you like the look of them, but if you look close, they're tatty by YouTube standards, by heavy metal standards.
Mm.
But they don't look it. And no one's ever mentioned it. And when I come back the next day, I've gone, oh, I look fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy with that. And I've got them done. You know, I've got an army. I've got a 10,000-point Orc and Goblin army. Uruk-hai and Moria Goblins, obviously, but nonetheless, I use them for Orcs and Goblins.
What companies are you, because you're talking about proxies and that, what companies are you buying your miniatures from?
All over the place. Mostly eBay. I don't even know what companies half some of the stuff comes from. It's just so the Lord of the Rings stuff is the mainstay of my collection, because I just love the aesthetic of those. And they were so ubiquitous in the day, because it was a massive part of the Games Workshop's income, wasn't it, for a long time when the films came out, that there are thousands of them out there for cheap, unless you go for the collector's ones, which I don't need to, because I'm looking for armies. I'm not looking for, you know, £200 a miniature nonsense. Just, oh, I can get a box of 80 Uruk-hai for 15 quid here. I might have to strip a couple of them, but fine, grand. I'm happy with that. I get a bit of Mantic. I've recently bought some Morg miniatures. Are you familiar with them?
Yeah, aye. Are they not like via Etsy, or am I just pulling?
Yeah, they're the most expensive I'll go, because they're brand new, they're metal, but they're lovely and they're characterful. I've taken to only buying miniatures that I truly am buzzed by, because that was another aspect of, well, I went down the various rabbit holes in the past of going, oh, I need to buy them. I need to buy them ones. But Jason, do you actually like them? No, but the army needs them. Well, no, it doesn't. If you don't want them, you don't like them, don't do it. You're not going to paint them. And sure enough, they never got painted. But I'm happier now waiting a bit longer and going, oh, I'm going to buy five minis from Etsy on Morg Miniatures. Or there's a couple of French companies. I can't remember what they're called. Dark something? Dark Sword Miniatures? Something like that. Mantic, I've bought a few of them, undead stuff. I quite like their undead. Not the sands ones. They don't do anything for me.
Do you have a preference with the plastic or the metal? Or are you not bothered either way?
Something deep in me loves metal. I don't know why. People hate metal to paint, don't they? There's so many people slating saying metal's crap, plastic's better and all that. And I kind of get it. Metal has a few extra steps. But when I'm interacting with things, I'm quite a tactile visual man. And when I'm interacting with these miniatures, and that's partially why I like the big vista of a big game, because it's quite a theatric experience. It's quite a nice thing to interact with. And I like picking up something heavy. It feels like a sense of value to it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the metals mostly. But I will go to plastic and I'll go for resin. I hate the resins. Some of the resins, like Citadel Finecast, they called it. Oh, they're a pain in the arse for me. I mean, they're great for converting in some sense, because you just heat them up and that's another thing with Dungeon Saga. You heat them up and you can mold them to wherever you want. You can do whatever conversion you like. It's fantastic in that sense. Oh, that troll's arm is now doing this because you just put it in hot water. Well, the resins is kind of the same, but there's a lot of flash, a lot of cleanup. They're a bit brittle sometimes. Mm. And all of the straight spears are never straight. All of the swords need straightening out. They never stay straight over time. It's entirely for the company's convenience, not for the consumer. I think hard plastic is better than resin. And it's probably better than metal in some ways these days, the plastics. But I like metal. It's like a classic car. I prefer it to the new Beamer.
If you're in the market for a t-shirt, mug, sticker or magnet with Goblin Green bases written on it, then today is your lucky day. We've teamed up with TeePublic to create a merch store for the podcast, which you could visit by going to bedroombattlefields.com/store. So go and get yourself some Goblin Green bases branded merch today, and bonus points if you send in a photo of you being escorted out of your local Games Workshop. That's bedroombattlefields.com/store. And now, back to the show.
What about you? How are you with these?
I tend to opt for metal, but I'm not massively fussed either way. I don't really like getting these full unit plastic sets that's like every arm, every head, you know.
They're a bit action, man, isn't they?
It's just putting those together. I get why people would like it, you know, the uniqueness of each one. But for me, I'm a monopose guy with my big units. So maybe
yes, with regiments, yeah. Definitely. Because I don't like visually the regiments that have, it's like everyone's doing a dance of their own. It's like you're at a rave.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on. No one in history would ever look like that. Even when they're in the middle of a battle, the back three rows would be stood there waiting.
Yeah,
in the same pose, and that's yeah, that like looks nicer.
Guy in the back rows about to spear his pal, you know, in the front. It just a spear at the back of the head for no reason.
Oh, sorry, sir. Oh, stop dancing, would you?
Trying to look heroic.
Oh, for God's sake, no one's interested, and you're at the back for a reason.
You know, I've got a tenuous link to this. What I try and think about these things probably too much, but why? Maybe one of the reasons I think monopose attracts me so much. So, like, I'm a partly sound designer by trade, like making soundscape sort of audio dramas and stuff like that. And in sound design, there's certain rules, if you like. So if you want to convey the sound of, say, we're on a farm, and you want to the listener to feel like they're in maybe a cow's field, you don't just have cows mooing throughout, you know, say we've got a 5 minute scene, 5 minute conversation. The cows aren't just mooing like you're in a barn, you know. You'll open the scene, the cow will moo a couple of times and then it'll go away and you've set the scene. And I kind of liken that in a very tenuous way to the monopose miniature. Like, you've displayed what the unit's doing. We don't need, you know, everyone to be doing their own little dance. We see that unit, that's what it is. And that kind of sticks in your head. So, aye, a weird link there. I've always kind of compared the two.
It's entirely analogous, I think, from what you said. Entirely. Mm. And by the way, I've enjoyed your little snippets at the beginning of some of your podcasts. I have enjoyed those.
Aye, me and Robert just knocking them up sometimes just for a laugh. Yes, it's kind of the stuff we do anyway. So
you've got to be silly with these things, haven't you? Because it is silly, a lot of what we do.
Aye, I know. I want to ask you about DIY terrain, given your job and your profession and that. But first, I just wanted to touch on something you mentioned, Gaslands. So my understanding of Gaslands, you take the old, what are the wee cars, the wee toy cars?
It can be anything you like, but they're like little die-cast cars. But it can be anything.
And you just smash it up and convert it and stuff, and it's a bit Mad Max, is that right?
If you want to, people go mad with it because this is proper hobby stuff now, because there's no miniature line for it as such, apart from he's been so successful that he's released two plastic sprues of add-ons and conversions that you can just bolt onto these die-cast miniatures. Ostensibly 20mm scale, I think. Yeah, I'll say it. We'll commit to that, 20mm. And you just bolt them on and you just go away and play using the book. That's it. But it can be anything you want and it can almost be any scale. You just... it's a game designed just to play.
Do your kids like that?
The kids have not been introduced to it. My neighbour's kids have been introduced to it because they're a touch older. My kids don't like anything so far. Well, my youngest is 3, and my eldest is 6. My youngest is interested in violence just to get her own way. But the eldest is a soppy, soft, lovely little thing. So when she was playing the dungeon games, I think I sent you a picture with her in it. She was just about to cry then because she was being chased out of the dungeon. And when we made some minis together, I bought one of the best mini sets I've ever come across. Is the Joe McCullough's Frostgraves Wizards set.
Mm.
It's the best little kit I've ever come across, in my opinion. And I got the female versions, which I'm loving that they're doing this these days. Got the female wizards. And I said to her, here you go, like a you choose book, pick what you want. She avoids all of the weapons. She avoids anything that can hurt anyone. She made herself a witch with hands outstretched with a bag because she said she needs to go shopping. And she's got a cat on her shoulder. And she's got a lovely hat and all this. And she painted her up in rainbow colours. And it is the most sinister looking hag I've ever seen. But yeah. That's the way they are. So Gaslands is a little bit too violent for her. But I play it with my neighbour, because that's the other thing, because my neighbour, I've lived next to my neighbour for 3 years, never spoke, but
wives started interacting, and then wifely procedures were going on behind the scenes, and they spotted something in the corner of their eye, and they went, Chris has got that. And then we were put together, and now we're gaming, and Gaslands is one of our core games.
That's excellent. That's like the stuff dreams are made of.
It's happened to me 3 times now, man. Since my kids have gone to school, my eldest has gone to school, and the wives have started meeting, these wives are coming by going, Adrian's got that, Derek's got that. All of these men are silent. None of them are advertising it. It's madness what we do, why we don't talk about it more, majority of us. I mean, I don't know whether it's just around my area, but that's my experience of it, is that you don't advertise these things as part of your...
You know how, like, every second house you see has got, like, a Ukraine flag hanging out the window? Imagine if you just, like...
Or a Aquila.
Yeah, like, Bretonian coat of arms or something out the window, and just see if anyone picks up on it.
Well, do you know what? I was doing some stuff out the front of my house last year, and it's a very strange thing, but you know there's a distinctive sound of a hobbyist spraying up his minis? It's not it's not like any other sound. It's not like you're using WD-40. It's not like you're spraying up inside your car. It is that distinctive thing.
Yeah.
I heard it on my close, and it wasn't my neighbour, and I know that. And it was like I've smelt a bitch on heat. I was there looking around going, where is it? I can hear it. And so I went and got some minis, and I started spraying on my front grass looking round, hoping someone would catch the scent. But no, I couldn't find him. He didn't bite.
There's a sitcom in there somewhere, isn't there? Like,
it's just strangers in the night, yeah, exchanging glances.
There's a street with several Warhammer players, none of which know each other.
That's been in my experience, though. No one advertises it. So even when I go around their houses, it's not on show. It's tucked away somewhere. And I can go years without knowing these people are interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's some strange thing around me that, for instance, none of them tell their missus, not until it's too late. You know, they can't get away now. And then it comes out from under the cupboard. Yeah, I do this thing.
Yeah,
I don't know why we're not more forward with it.
Just leaflet the street, takeaway menu style leaflets.
Well, we could try, because I found myself whispering, because I was doing a plumbing course in Cardiff, and I found out this chap was vaguely interested. He made a joke with me, because it was like almost like we're testing each other, see what we know. You vaguely touch the topic and make a joke, going, "Oh, do you like wargaming?" And I get a bit closer, side a bit closer. Do you like Warhammer? And he's like, "Yeah, come with me, come on." I don't know why we're like that. Is it the same with you? Are you quite forward and open about these things? I'm more forward these days.
Yeah, I just don't give a shit these days.
Same here.
What anyone thinks, like, to an extent, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't care if anyone knows that I'm into that painting.
Back in my early 20s and teens, though, I didn't advertise it at all. Sometimes I denied it.
I remember the school bus. I saw a boy reading White Dwarf from inside his school bag, and I think we got off at the same stop, and I mentioned it, and he had a look of alarm, because he obviously thought, somebody's on to me, and I was like, no, it's fine, I've got one too.
it's like you're talking about crack, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think that's more acceptable.
Yeah.
What's the problem with that, do you think? Because even now, it's like, geek is cool, isn't it, for the young'uns? Like below 20s, I'd say. Geek is cool now. Absolutely not a problem. But yet, there's still some element of reserve in our community.
Yeah.
Is it? Is that your experience as well?
Aye, definitely. Definitely. You know, I played for a few very low level, like, pub league football teams. I could just imagine in the dressing room, and I'm like, so lads, anyone get any painting done last night? Like, I could imagine, you never know, maybe like 8 or 9 boys are like, actually, yes, I made some progress on my elder.
Yes, I am an Iandan general. Absolutely. that's like a Spartacus scene. I am Spartacus. Some people start stepping up, going, yes.
Yeah.
But I'd hope so. Anyway, sorry, derailed you completely. What were we talking about?
Well, next thing on my wee list, if you like, was terrain, because you're a carpenter. Are you also known as a chippy in your trade, or is that just a region?
Changes from region to region, doesn't it? So, like, in Scotland, it's a joiner, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you've got your bench joiner, which is different. I'm straddling this in between a joiner and a bench joiner. Mm-hmm. And everyone calls it different. But yeah, I work with wood.
That obviously, though, makes it, it opens up a lot of opportunities for you, presumably, hobby-wise, because you're...
damn near free.
Yeah, like you've got all these materials and you know very well how to use them, so...
polystyrene. I am ripping out roofs all the time and I'm getting enough polystyrene for 40 gamers, getting chucked in a skip.
So what sort of stuff have you made over the years?
Over the years, I have made... Did I show you a picture of my full table?
I believe you did, yeah.
Yeah, so that's about half my terrain collection for Warhammer. So I've got all the hills, the valleys, the rocks. I just get pieces of flint, stick them on cards, shove a load of sand on it. Sand is free for me as well. We chuck a lot of sand. Mm. And just put it in the microwave. 1 inch. So a 1 centimeter thick piece of sand in a takeaway tub in the microwave. And it's as good as the Games Workshop stuff because it's been dried out. And you've paid nothing for it. Same with crushed slate because the slaters and the roofers, they're always doing stuff. I mean, the roofers, even though they look, you know, to become a roofer, a criminal record is not necessarily a reason to not hire you. But they're an interesting bunch of people. But if you walk up to them and go, "Can I have some of that slate you're crushing up?" They look at you like you're mad, but they're so scared that they just go, "Yeah, mate, of course." And you get yourself free slate by the bucket load with no issue. Just walk up to any builder, or scaffolder, or whatever, and just go, "Look, can I have that slate?" And they're like, "Yeah." Go on, I'll give you a little coffee cup as well to put it in if you like, mate.
You couldn't possibly want it for wholesome reasons.
No, they're looking at you like you are an alien now. Don't you want the proper slate, mate? And they said, no, that's no use to me. I want this stuff. What you mean the stuff?
Broken stuff.
Yeah. But it's great. And so all the materials you could ever want, including paint, because the painters, acrylic paints these days, you thin it a little bit with water and it's good enough for terrain. It's absolutely fine. And, you know, they always have base white and they have various other shades. And you can get them in the tester pots for free sometimes from brewers if you're buying in bulk. It's not a problem. The tester pots are damn cheap as well, even if you have to buy them. You get a lot of paint. And it's better than poster paint. It'll stick for, you know, 10 years on various substrates without an issue. And that's what it's designed to do in houses. It's tough stuff. And it paints up grand. On all the terrain. So yes, I've made hills, rocks, a couple of buildings. I've made a Moria set, Mines of Moria. I love that one. And I've made, I think I made a fortress, but I got rid of it at one point because I wasn't happy with it in the end. Because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do everything once and I want it to cross over between every game system. So my Lord of the Rings are good for skirmishing Lord of the Rings, Warhammer, Kings of War, Dungeon Saga, the lot. And that's how I want to do it. So I want to do it once and I want it to cross over as many game systems as possible. And it's the same with the terrain. So that Moria set is also good for any sci-fi or any underground mines, whatever you want, or ash wastes of Mordor, the lot. Same with my generic green stuff. It's generic. It can be up in the mountains. It could be out in the plains. It could be wherever you want. And that way I've got to minimize my storage. And then with my flat pack table too, which is just painter's trestles bolted together because they all fold down. You can stick them in your loft, stick them under the stairs. You know, it's good for anyone with a small house. You can just lob out there and you can have a 12 by 6 table in a very moderate household size. You know, it only just fits and you can do any gaming system you want. And it's the same and the terrain is universal. And it's cheap and free. You know, I mean, it'll be free for you as well because all you do is walk up to a builder and say, "Look, guys, I've got an art project. Can I grab some of this stuff from you, Skip?" They're all too happy because Skips are 300 quid a time. You're saving them money. they're well happy. Just don't leave a mess because they get more from their Skip. And just do that.
So you'd never ever buy terrain then?
I have bought details sometimes. So there's a huge market now at these bring and buy sales and stuff like that for these... I'm not sure what they're made from. I think they're kinds of resin where they've poured them in, but it feels like a bit plaster of Paris like because they've poured it into a mold, broken it out, and they're selling it for 2 quid a pop, something like that. And you get all these little detail things, so like a, I can't even remember the last one I bought. I've done it so few times, but I'd say 95% of the time, yes, you're right. I get it entirely from stuff in my Skip, including dishwashers, ovens. Dishwashers are fantastic, I have to say, for sci-fi terrain. They have got gnarly parts in there.
tell you what, that brings back a memory, because I had the Space Marine, Epic Space Marine, whatever you wanted to call it, you know, the 6mm. And I don't know how I came across these as a child, but I had a bunch of circuit boards, and they made brilliant wee, it was almost like futuristic little platforms, you know, like a circuit board that's all strange wires and colours and stuff. So I'd just a load of circuit boards laid out, and it looked great.
It does look great, doesn't it? That's possibly my favourite part of the hobby, is doing stuff like that for free, because I've looked at these terrain sets and I don't want them. £100 for one little set?
Mm.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. Or 3D prints and stuff, which I don't really want to get involved in. It's too much room in the house, too much noise, a little bit of mess. It's not quite there yet for me. There's a bit more development to be done on the tech, and then it'll be spot on and taken over everything, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, it's not quite there. And I enjoy making terrain. And it's so cheap that if you get it wrong, you haven't wasted £50 in 3 hours painting it. It's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Chuck it away then. It's been no good for my gaming experience. Like, especially with platforms and things. You make all these Necromunda type sci-fi, you know, Warhammer 40k terrain, and you realize that, ah, I should have had a platform up back here and here, so that way you can get up and down and you make a more interesting gaming experience. All right, not a problem. That's not an issue at all.
Mm-hmm.
Cheap stuff.
You don't struggle for storage or that?
Yes. Yes. I've got some in the loft. I've got some under the stairs. I've got some in my workshop, which it shouldn't be there, but it looks great. And I've got a little bit under my bed. But, you know, because it's so cheap, I can give it away to the schools.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And then I'm on to something else. Because if my rule is, if I haven't touched it in 3 years, it's gone. Unless it's particularly nostalgic. And mm-hmm. it has to be particularly so. Because if I haven't touched it in 3 years, I'm probably not going to touch it in 20.
Do you have any of your original stuff for when you were wee?
A couple. Because I had a momentous event just post-2009. The company I was working for went bust. Made myself self-employed within 24 hours. And smashed my leg up. And was off for 6 months. So we were skin. And I sold nearly everything. I was only a grand in debt after 6 months because of buying and selling Games Workshop on eBay during that time period. But most of my original stuff went during that time just to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept my first Space Marine.
Mm-hmm.
My first 40K little Space Marine. I've still got him. And it looks atrocious and it's fantastic.
Was he the front of the White Dwarf?
He was. He was, yeah.
I had one.
I think I had a missile launcher. Well. Oh, they're great. And sometimes you got metal miniatures free with them. That was unbelievable days.
Yeah, I think I always wondered about that, because in my mind I got a Necron, metal Necron free.
Spot on.
But then looking back, I was like, but would they have put the metal on the front? So maybe they must have done. And they were decent Necrons in my opinion, because I got the recent ones couple of years ago, and I just hated them. Got rid of them.
They're blatant Terminators, though, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that's what I liked, because I love Terminator 2. And
I love it too. And do you know what else I love is all those 80s films, like Aliens, like Big Trouble in Little China, and all that. Because that, if ever there was a brilliant dungeon game, it's Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah,
that needs to happen. And I've decided, so like Space Hulk, second, you know, the Games Workshop Space Hulk.
Mm.
I've sold that. That's gone. Because what I've decided is, what I want from that is aliens.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blatant it's a blatant nod to aliens. Well, if I want that, the miniatures exist now.
Yeah.
And they're cheap as. So I've bought myself a load of aliens, the Queen, I've got, the Broadmother in that. I've got a Gene Steeler Magus in that, because I've got some of the Colonial Marines, a few spare boxes, and I'm gonna mash them up to make hybrids. See how that goes. It might not go well, but that's the kind of thing I'm doing now. I'm sort of going, oh, you know, Necrons were grand. I've got my original metal, but I've also, because of Alessio Cavatori's company, have released Terminator miniatures. Well, I've got Terminators.
You got them too. I've got them, the Genesis ones, the endoskeletons. Yeah,
the chap crawling across the floor.
Yeah, with the broken ones. Yeah,
oh, I love that. I've included them in my sci-fi dungeon crawlers, because I've got the Mantic did a sci-fi version of Dungeon Saga, didn't they?
Did they? Didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's called Star Saga.
Aye. Oh, I've heard of that, right enough. Yeah. Maybe I have to look into that.
Well, that's cheap as chips now as well.
Is it?
Yeah. I think you get a new one for 30 quid online.
Cool. And that's obviously dungeon tiles, but replace them with spaceships.
It's all sci-fi. Yeah. And that sci-fi scenery is cracking.
Mm-hmm.
It is lovely little bits and pieces. And yeah, I'll chuck Terminators in there.
Yeah.
And I've got aliens in there now as well. It's brilliant. It's everything I wanted.
That reminded me, I've got... This is great audio when I go and pick something up. I got a copy of Blaster magazine. So this is like a...
Joe McCullough's thing, is it?
Aye. Yeah, so he's in it. Your man Hutchison that makes Gaslands.
He does some great rule sets, those two blokes.
So there's there's a Gaslands expansion, I think, in here. And B, there's a... And Joe mentioned this when I had him on the show last. He wrote a rule set. What's it called here? Death Ship 1. And it's you're in a spaceship. It's like all sorts of wee scenarios and stuff. So I bet that would come in really handy for it. You've got it was pretty expensive, but you know, when you think about it, it is like a lot of games in a single book. But I think it was possibly 30 quid. So yeah, it was one of those.
Bad, considering you spend on these things, if you get gaming out of it, there's a lot worse ways of spending 30 quid. Like for me, you could easily spend 30 quid on one single piece of scenery, which might not be suitable for you.
Or one single hour in the pub. I'd easily do that.
I know. My steak and chips does cost me a lot these days, but I go for it.
I know. It's value and perceived value and all that, isn't it? You're like, I bought a £30 magazine, but then you'll happily have 7 pints and not think anything of it.
Absolutely. But yeah, Gaslands in particular, it is like a pub meal for me. It's like one of those things. It's just fun, cheap, dirty, and fun. It's absolute fun. That's all it is. And there's nothing pretentious to it. It's cheap to get into. It's just ready to go.
Have you ever dabbled in rules writing yourself?
A little bit, but being almost illiterate, which is why I'm in construction, it's not gone too well. But the key problem I have is conveying meaning in a rules setting to others in a written form. I can explain it without an issue. But when you write it down for someone else, it's an entirely different level of literacy. It's entirely different. It's almost like a different skill set.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I was trying to do was Dungeon Saga. I wanted to make it multi-level. Because there's these battle systems cardboard things.
Yeah.
Familiar with that company? Well, years ago now, they did a dungeon set. I think they're re-releasing a new form of it at some point. I think they're in the Kickstarter mode or something like that, or getting close to it. But they did this dungeon set, and it's all in one-inch squares, which is exactly like Dungeon Saga. And so I was thinking, right, there you go. I'm ready to go. I can take Dungeon Saga 2 or 3 levels high. All of the line of sights will still work, as long as you keep all of the levels in line with the base layer squares.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
And so I've been working through all that sort of thing, as well as adding on to Dungeon Saga, having henchmen. So henchmen teams, and you're getting up to 12 models a side now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fun, because you can get a real campaign system going where you get lots of gold, you can buy yourself some henchmen, other henchmen run away. If you have a bad time, you've got some morale problems with your henchmen. But writing that down, it's a skill set beyond me so far. I'm trying. I can write almost in sentences, and it's getting there, but it is hard. So what kind of gamer are you then, chap? Are you more of a tournament gamer? You sound like you're more of an RPG leaning way, more of an experience rather than a competition. Is that fair to say?
Aye, it's all narrative rather than I absolutely wouldn't do tournaments or that.
I've done one once. I didn't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Was it Warhammer?
Yes. Yes, that's the only tournament's about, really, in some sense, unless you're in them. It wasn't fun for me. It was not my mindset at all. But that's interesting, then, because to my big games, they're not tournaments at all. They're more narrative. I say narrative, but there is an element of if you're not tactical about this, you'll probably lose. But the word probably should be emphasised.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a scenario.
Because sometimes they don't even use points.
Yeah, aye.
Which is a weird one to do. Because Rick Priestley was talking about it on some other podcast. He said, we never use points. And it just threw me. What are you talking about, never use points? Mm-hmm. But actually, it's very freeing. And you can end up having some real fun. Yeah. So it's interesting to know that you're a bit more a narrative thing. Because do you like big games? Or are you more keen on small stuff?
So I've done Kings of War a couple of times. But I find it intimidating doing the setup and the takedown at all. So I think that's why I've got really into like small scale skirmish stuff and Rangers of Shadowdeep, just because I can get set up and tidied up a lot quicker. So I think, you know, I
love. You got a young family, have you?
Yeah, I got a wee girl. She's going to be one next month.
Oh, you're in a very early days.
Yeah, so obviously that's
tired, like, man.
Alluding to it. To be honest, she sleeps well at night, but last night, I think because of the heat at the moment, she was up a couple of times. So, but that's it. Like you said earlier on, these things obviously take priority as well at that time of your life. So,
absolutely. That's interesting that you say you found it intimidating. Is it because that you know that you're dominating the space for so long in a family atmosphere, or is it because it's just the thing itself is a lot of endeavour?
I think it, as well, it comes down to when I prefer to play. So if I was having a big game, I would want to do it during the day. I'm not a late nights person.
No, I'm not. No. I'm unconscious past 10.
Early nights, early mornings for me, that's the way I work. So when you hear about guys getting together at 8 o'clock at night and finishing their game at midnight, I couldn't comprehend that. I couldn't have any fun at that time. So maybe it's because I like to play through the day, and it's always on my mind that, you know, this needs to be tidied up at the end of the day because dinner will be served at some point and there can't be high elves sitting there. So,
well, it's interesting because I've had a similar problem, and the way I've dealt with it in terms of dominating the space, not necessarily the intimidation because I'm thoroughly motivated to have big games, but in terms of dominating the space, it's like the kids will go to Nancy and Grampy's. This is why it's only once a year or something like that. You know, Nan and Grandad's, they'll go there, or I'll rent a local space, like above a pub or a community hall, old church, something like that. They're only 30 quid for the whole day sometimes. These big, you know, these community halls, that, you know, you walk past them, you think, what the hell's that? Usually they're next to some play park or something. And you know, no one really uses them except for community meetings with the village or whatnot. 30 quid for the whole day. They've got tables in there sometimes as well. And you can just rock up. You're not disturbing the kids, anything like that. You're giving your missus a box of chocolates to look after them for the day. And it's just, especially when there's a games master. So I usually take the, because I'm so motivated for big games, with the mates, they don't usually have to prepare anything.
Mm-hmm.
They'll turn up with nibbles, you know. And maybe they're like, one of them likes to make his own army list because he's a list builder.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to like that. And, you know, we say, oh, well, you know, whatever poison you fancy, you go and do that, then you're nutter.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll turn up with this section of the army. But I've done the scenario, I've done the painting, I've done everything else, set it up, and you just come in for the experience for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Would that solve a lot of your problems? Is that?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. I just, in the days that I've set aside at the moment to game, I'm kind of looking toward Rangers of Shadowdeep just because we're involved in a campaign.
Yeah, and that's your wheelhouse. Exactly, that's what your motivation is. It makes sense. Because time is precious, isn't it, when you've got young and...
Aye, that's it. Like, if I get 6 games a year, I'll be delighted with that. And to some folks, that might be sound really unambitious, but...
Some it is. I hear some people saying, oh, we're twice a week.
Yeah.
Excuse me? What do you mean twice a week? What do you do all day that you've got that much time? But no, I remind myself, not everyone's got a business or a family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do. But no, once a year, big game. That's what I get. And then once every 2 months, 6 weeks, I get smaller games.
Mm-hmm. Aye. No, it's good to have that kind of FA Cup final-esque, you know, this is the big one.
It certainly feels special.
Mm-hmm. There is the suit on.
Oh, I am dolled up entirely. High heels, Moria. I've got my Moria dwarf helmet on. I am ready to go.
Chainmail. Actual chainmail.
Well, I just thought there's these Indian fellas that have started making reproduction armor on eBay.
Yeah.
And they're cheap as for what they actually are. And you've got like the Uruk-hai helmets, you've got Moria Dwarf helmets, you've got all this stuff. I'm like, I've got to.
You know, if you think the roofer was a bit scared when you asked him for some...
Oh, he nearly dropped one when I turned up with my Moria helmet. He didn't know what was going on.
Actual armour, yeah. Excuse me, mate. Yeah.
Do you know the way the Khazad-dûm? It just looks at you. What? Khazad-dûm, you're local, aren't you?
Jason, I'm kind of running out of time, but...
Sorry, man. Yeah, like I said, just, you tell me to shut up and we'll go.
No, just it's been really enjoyable. We'll have to get together again to continue our chat. Is there anything like that you want to point towards or share or anything like that before we get wrapped up?
I think just the conviction that you don't have to do it really high standard. That's something I wish that many of my mates would take on board more, because they get so bogged down with wanting to do it to the same level as they're seeing. And they get a little bit depressed sometimes, like, oh, for God's sake, sort of thing, you know. Just lower your standards. It's okay. Have fun. Mm-hmm. But no, I'd love to talk to you more, man. So, yeah, if you're ever fancy, or if you've got something you want to chat about and you think I'll be good to ramble on with, just we'll do it. Because I love chatting about these things. Yeah, and I'm enjoying your content, too. Keep it up. I'm loving that.
Thank you. I'm always a bit self-deprecating on the show, saying I never get any feedback, and that's I wanted to say that actually on the show. It's not strictly true. There have been a few really nice emails in that have come in, and folks filling the survey out as well. So I really do appreciate that. I want to say that to about yourself, Jason, because you did that, and also other folks that have got in touch. It's been really nice to hear from listeners. So great.
Thoroughly enjoying it. I'm going to listen to it every time it comes out. So it's grand.